So today's scripture, I picked out two scriptures, and they're each one sentence long. They're short, but when you put them together, they're very, very powerful. And it fits right into God's will for your life. And the first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And this is Paul talking. Paul, the messenger or apostle, is telling us what is God's will for your life in one sentence. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," everyone here. That's such a great and powerful statement that he made, and we'll get into it. And it's one that you can meditate on for hours and hours when you go home. And the second one is also from Paul, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." What a powerful... We need all these things. And that's part of God's will for your life. That the fruit of the Spirit is something we need to satisfy our understanding of God's will for our lives. So let's pray. Father, we pray that your words may enter our hearts and never leave them. We pray that understanding may come through the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you bless us today as we learn God's will for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So today we're going to talk about life's big question. What is God's will for my life? The messenger Paul explains it in simple terms in one sentence, as I just read. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's go right to an example. You find a $10 bill in the street. Now, without thinking of God, you might say, "Wow, this is my lucky day. I'm happy about my good fortune, and for the rest of my day, I'll look forward to more lucky things to happen." Often that lucky feeling wears off in a few hours. But an interesting thing is, I looked in the Bible for the word luck, or lucky, or unlucky. It's not in there. Luck does not come in the Bible. And I thought that was very interesting. And I talk about luck, you know, in my lifetime, you know, which is a long lifetime. Let me tell you, I'm 75, 3 years ago, or 3 months ago. And so I was surprised that luck is not in there. But then when I started thinking about it, when it talks about good luck, it's a blessing from God. And that's the difference between Christians and non-Christians, is non-Christians believe in luck and they believe in superstition. I used to have a rabbit's foot, and I had other lucky charms and stuff. And how many believe that Friday the 13th is unlucky? Throw that out. Throw out all luck and luckiness. So it's going on. On the other hand, finding a $10 bill on the street, Paul would rejoice, pray, and give thanks. He might say, wow, God has blessed me. I prayed for help and God has answered in a small way. I'm going to continue praying and to look forward to more blessings from God. Thank you, Lord, for partially answering my prayers. Now realize that God rarely tells us directly how to live our lives, but he leads us through life by listening to our prayers and answering them with small blessings. Once you throw out the luck, you know, you'll find blessings in your life. And you can count them, count your blessings. He answers our prayers with small blessings and an occasional miracle, such as a baby, a spouse, or a healing. We in turn need to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. For a more modern example, Maria von Trapp, whose early life was famously portrayed by Julie Andrews in the Broadway musical and movie Sound of Music, she sets out to find God's will by becoming a nun. But her playful personality suggests that she might not be suited for the job. She's sent away temporarily to become a governess of the 7 mischievous children of an overbearing father. Although she has doubts, worries, and fears about the job, she prays for courage, strength, and confidence. She rejoices as she laughs, sings, dances, and plays with the children. And she was thankful not only for the children, but also for her favorite things. In the end, she finds God's will by marrying the father, leading the Von Trapp family singers, and becoming an inspiration to millions, with the help of Broadway and Hollywood, of course. So you don't have to become a nun or a monk to find God's will, but if you are joyful, prayerful, and thankful 24/7, and there's a little glitch to the whole thing, 24/7, and then we'll get into it. If you're prayerful and thankful and joyful 24/7, you will find God's will for your life while living life to the full. So let's meditate on Paul's 3 simple instructions. The first is, rejoice always. The Christian faith is one of celebration. Yay! It's like New Year's Eve, right? Or Christmas Eve, or Christmas, or Easter. Celebration. I lost my train of thought, by the way. But the King David sang, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day we are to rejoice in God. What a wonderful way to live. I'm falling apart here. But you can tell I'm a previous vacation Bible school teacher. And I use plenty of props, and I've got more. Don't worry. So we celebrate not just on Christmas or Easter or holidays, but every day. God also blesses us with hands to clap, feet to dance, lungs to laugh, voices to sing, and faces to smile, and hearts to celebrate. We need to take full advantage. Paul was the type who was always dancing and singing in the rain. In The Sound of Music, we see Maria's joy rubbing off on children and a father. And that's such a special thing. When you have this joy in you, it rubs off on other people. That's why you use the joy. Now, rejoicing can be difficult because some days are full of trouble and hardship. But even when Paul was thrown into prison or shipwrecked three times or stoned and left for dead, he continued to rejoice and sing praises to God. While in prison, Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, what did Paul have to rejoice about? Chained in a dirty, dingy prison with horrible food, no windows, no toilet paper, nasty rats and bugs, waiting for a trial and possible execution, not to mention the stench. Was he off his rocker? Oh, no, no. You see, before Paul met Jesus, he was persecuting Christians for heresy and even had some of them killed. He hated Christians and condemned their absurd belief that Jesus is alive. Yeah, who's going to believe that? Paul deserved to die for his deeds. But then Jesus appeared to Paul and forgave him and turned Paul's life completely around. They became BFF, best friends forever. Now Paul saw the error of his ways and gave up everything and joyfully devoted his life to Jesus with boundless energy and power. He became the messenger or apostle of the good news of Jesus' death, resurrection, and forgiveness, not only to Jews, but also to the whole world. And he traveled all around Greece and many of the cities of Mesopotamia. And so the Christian church grew by leaps and bounds. What would you do if you met Jesus? It took years for Paul to gain trust of Christians, but the people that he persecuted became his family. Ironically, the one-time Christian persecutor was executed as a Christian martyr, most likely facing death with a big smile on his face on his way to meet Jesus again. That's what joy does for you. Now, Paul's second instruction is pray without ceasing. Oh, that's a tough one. The purpose of prayer is to become one with God. That's why we pray. We want to become one with God. We want to talk to God. We want to communicate with Him and find out what is God's will for our lives by communicating with Him. So we want to understand where He is so that we understand where we are. We need to take full advantage of the opportunity to pray. Praying is like going to a salon and asking the beautician for a complete makeover. The full treatment from head to toes, from hairstyle to pedicure. Your goal is to become like Jesus and become one with God. Just like walking through the park helps you become one with nature. If you remember Maria, you know, she often became one with nature. She would sing, "The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song it hears." Becoming one with nature, becoming one with God is more important. But becoming one with nature is also important. You first need a change of heart. We talked about this during our time of confession. Repent means change of heart. You have to see the error of your ways and confess your sins in prayer like this. Oh Lord, I am guilty of many things. I am sorry that I have sinned against you and harmed others. I am ashamed of my sinful and selfish behavior. Please forgive me and change my heart. Amen. When you turn your heart over to God, it's a precious gift. And when you do that, heaven celebrates, as Jesus tells us. There was rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Every time you turn your heart over to God, the angels are celebrating. Now your makeover kicks into high gear, because now you are receptive to what God is trying to tell you. Now understand that God is your loving Father, or as Jesus called him, Abba, which means Papa or Daddy. Abba listens to us and cares for us and blesses us just like a mother does with her baby. But like a baby, we often take God for granted and go about our days thinking only of ourselves, coming to God only when we need a favor. But realize that Abba is not a genie who says, "Your wish is my command," giving us everything we ask for. But he does bless us with his Holy Spirit, who lives within Christian hearts as our personal mentor. He is our counselor. He is our mentor, in charge of our makeover. So when you leave here, you have the Holy Spirit with you in your heart as your mentor, trying to change your nature. And as we read earlier, Paul tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." What a beautiful verse. These are the things that the Holy Spirit is going to help you with as you leave today. And as you pray, the Holy Spirit feeds you his fruit. All this fruit, he feeds it to you, and when you eat the fruit and taste its sweetness, your personality changes. That's how we become one with God. Our personality changes, and you begin to grow and bloom and bear fruit of your own. It doesn't help just to eat the fruit and keep it to yourself. You have to bloom and grow. Now, when you give your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as Paul did, you are enrolled in Jesus University with a full scholarship, where Jesus is the professor emeritus, dean of disciples, and Lord of love. His 12 disciples called him Rabbi, which means teacher. And Jesus is the GOAT, G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time teacher and storyteller. By meditating on Jesus' life and words from your textbook, the Holy Bible is your textbook, he becomes your inspiration. We are inspired by Jesus. He is our idol. And so, he tells us, you must be born again with a new beginning and a new life, a total makeover. And that's why we're praying, is we want a total makeover from God. He teaches us how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jesus inspires us. He says, you are the light of the world. And sometimes I have to laugh at myself, you know, because I don't think I'm qualified to be the light of the world. But you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. As we inspire others to do good, we make the world a better place and leave a legacy for others to follow. That's what inspiration does. Jesus inspires us, and we inspire others, and they may come to Christ. And that is the most beautiful thing that can happen. And the angels will be rejoicing. But if we inspire no one, if your life does not inspire anyone, our lives are meaningless. By walking and talking with Jesus, as many Christian songs suggest, you can feel his presence. And in every situation, you can ask Jesus, what would you do, Lord, to find God's will? So as you pray 24/7, you not only receive Father Abba's blessings and the Holy Spirit's fruit and Jesus' inspiration, but also a complete makeover of your life so that you become one with God. Now, Paul's third instruction is give thanks in all circumstances. Another heavy statement. No matter how messy life gets, whether good or bad, through highs and lows, ups and downs, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now God blesses us with eyes to see, ears to hear, noses to smell, tongues to taste, bodies to feel, and brains to appreciate everything. Wow. We need to take full advantage of what God gives us. On Thanksgiving Day, we say grace by thanking Abba for the food we're about to eat. Turkey and stuffing and pie. But we also need to count our many blessings by thanking him not only for the big things, a home, a car, and a job, but also for the small things, like forks. Who made forks? They are so handy. Somebody made forks for socks. And for toilet paper. What will we do without toilet paper? Now, whoever invented these things, I'm very appreciate what they did. God created that person and created the materials that make these objects. Amen? So, we need to be thankful not only for the people who invented these things, but also God who gave them the material to do so. And Maria, despite living in Nazi-occupied Austria, deeply appreciated the little things in life. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. The little things in life. We have to appreciate every single bit. That's part of counting your blessings. Don't count blessings just for a new car or a new home or anything big. Everything that you touch or smell or see or hear, that is a blessing. what about the stars, the mountains, the oceans, the birds and bees, the dogs and cats? Consider the awesome wonder of it all. People throughout history have looked into the sky and just said, wow, this is amazing. And likewise, Maria felt the same way. The hills are alive with the sound of music. And we need to thank God for everyone we ever knew. Family, friends, and even complete strangers, realizing that some of them are angels. You know, people that, you know, you meet and you never see again, they could be angels. But Paul would tell us there's nothing more precious than Jesus. He is our Lord and Savior, our Master and role model, our brother and friend. Through Jesus, we have eternal life and an intimate relationship with God. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Now, how do you give thanks in all circumstances when there are millions of things to complain about? It's all right to complain, for the Bible has many examples. But a steady diet of gripes leads to a life of depression, despair, and misery. God doesn't want you to be a grouch, a grump, or a grinch, but wants you to make the best of every situation by being grateful in all circumstances. During a lightning storm, Maria sang to the fearful children, when the dog bites and the bee stings, when you're feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Thankfulness overcomes the stress and problems that you have in life. By appreciating the life God has for you, you add much contentment and peace to your life, which relieves so much pain and suffering. To sum up, much is written about the many physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits of joy, prayer, and thankfulness. There's so much to learn, and we need to take full advantage of everything, the bodies that we have, the brains that we have, the spirits that we have, everything. We need to take advantage of what God has given us to learn these things, to learn to do these things 24/7. If you rejoice always, you get to celebrate every day of your life. That is something everybody would love. If you pray without ceasing, you become one with Abba, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And if you give thanks in all circumstances, you get to appreciate and enjoy the awesome wonder of your life and everything and everyone God has blessed you with. To put it simply, God's will is that you live a full life and leave a legacy to others. His inspiration leads us to inspire others, and that leaves a legacy. Just as Paul found God's will and became God's messenger to the world, and just as Maria von Trapp found God's will by becoming a loving wife, mother, and inspiration to millions, finding God's will is as simple and awesome as that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And one of the things I wanted to do was for everybody to repeat today's scripture lesson. Repeat after me. Rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
Pray without ceasing.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
For this is the will of God.
For this is the will of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
For you.
For us.
Amen.